Ever since the breakout of the COVID-19 virus, this pandemic, a lot of parents are turning to homeschooling because the schools are closed for now. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Sam Sorbo, who's a spokesperson for the Texas Homeschool Coalition. And the Texas Homeschool Coalition is one of the nation's leading authorities on home education with more than three decades of experience in this area. And so she'll have some tips and suggestions for those parents not really familiar with these waters. Sam Sorbo is our guest. By the way, Sam Sorbo, who is married to Kevin Sorbo, who made the movie Let There Be Light. In fact, that movie was written by Dan Gordon and Sam Sorbo, our guest, and also directed by her husband, Kevin Sorbo. But if you saw the movie God's Not Dead, you remember Kevin Sorbo from that as well. And Sam Sorbo, you have written some books and you do your own radio show, but let's get right into it about homeschooling. And first of all, let me just say welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for talking about this very important subject right now.
And I understand that there's an urgency to this in terms of just getting the word out because there's some resources available through April 30th, 2020.
Right, and they're free, which is always a good incentive, right?
Yes.
When something's free, we want everybody to know about it right away. But more importantly, you know, families are feeling stranded. Kids were sent home from school with little to no homework for many of our public schools. And the parents are going, and now the government's telling me I have to home educate them without giving me any resources. What am I supposed to do? So THSC and I work together, and they've come up with, they've got all of this curriculum that's available online for free. It's soup to nuts, and it's the full day. It's a full day of school delivered on a daily basis to your inbox, basically. All you have to do is go to coronavirushomeschooling.com to sign up to receive the curriculum and get your child on their way to, you know, education, right? To learning.
Excellent. So tell me about your own personal experience with homeschooling. You have been homeschooling some of your children?
Yeah, for about 10 years now. So my oldest is just 18. I have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. And we've been homeschooling since my oldest went through second grade. And they weren't getting it done. And we had moved to that area for the schools. They were the good public schools. But I didn't like what they were sending home. I didn't like the role that they put me in. You know, if you're a parent and you're doing homework with your child, make no mistake, you're home educating. You're just doing it at the end of the day when everybody's tired and cranky and hungry. And I thought, gee, you know, I could probably do a better job if I were well-rested at the beginning of the day and didn't have to, you know, get out of bed as early as all that and all that stuff. So I just decided to give it a shot. And I realized very quickly that I skipped the drop-off and the pickup lines. I skipped yelling at my kids to get in the car. We were going to be late. I skipped making lunches. I skipped going back home to get the lunches that were forgotten. And all of that stuff. And what I got to do was spend a lot more time with my kids and enjoy watching them grow in their learning and pursuing their education. And it was such a blessing to me that's why I became a homeschool advocate. I wrote a book called They're Your Kids to emphasize to parents that they are the ones that should be in charge. And, you know, more and more we see the schools are kind of usurping that role of taking responsibility for the children or taking authority over the children. And, you know, you see parents who are frustrated because their teenagers won't listen to them. Well, they told the teenagers when they were little kids, they gave them this tacit instruction that the school's authority superseded theirs. And, you know, when the child comes home from first grade and says, Mommy, Mommy, you have to sign this. Teacher says, you have to sign this, Daddy. The moment you take that paper and sign it, you've ceded your authority to the school, and then everything that you do that's akin to that later on is telling the child the school has the authority.
Wow, that's excellent, excellent points that you're making. Okay, let me ask you this. For those parents that are not used to this role at all, what would be the first piece of advice you'd have to, okay, you're going to be the teacher now, at least for a few weeks or however long this lasts?
Right. I think the hardest thing for parents right now is their own sense of inadequacy. And I think that stems from, look, I've been speaking about this for a long time, and the number one concern that parents have is, I don't know how to educate my child.
Mm-hmm.
And to that I say, okay, did you graduate high school? And they did. And I said, but you feel incompetent to educate a third grader or a fourth grader or however old their child. So how good was your education that you're not able to impart what you learned? And then you have to wonder, you feel so inadequate, but you're willing to send your child into that system that's arguably worse than when you came out of it, right?
Yeah.
So my argument is, let's not do that to our kids. Let's empower our children. My job is to empower the parents to take this on. And the overwhelming message that I have for parents is they can do it, and we see it done. And in fact, they can do it better than the schools, because the statistics are in. Children who are homeschooled score on average 30 to 35% better on academic achievement tests. And they score better socially as well. So you can do it. You're not the outlier that's just a complete loser. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. I have more faith in you than that, right? And so that's why what they're doing at coronavirushomeschooling.com is they're basically empowering the parents. They're saying, you know what? Here you go. This is soup to nuts. Just do this. Give this a shot and see how well you do. And they're making it so easy for the parents. It's almost a no fail, right? And at the same time as you're doing this, you are able to grow your relationship with your child. And isn't that a tremendous blessing?
Amen. All right. What if, let's say, a parent is not good in math, but they're very good at English and history, but they have a friend down the street who's also doing homeschooling now that's very good at math, but they might not be good at English. Can you do something where you're kind of sharing assignments together or something like that, or sharing instructions different parts of the week?
As long as they practice social distancing.
Yeah, right.
Yes. So I'm in a co-op. And I've done school in a co-op since my oldest was in fifth grade.
Okay, so how does that work?
I went it alone. Well, I went it alone for a few years, and then I found a co-op. Mine is Classical Conversations. It's a classical Christian education program. And as of seventh grade, it's pretty much school in a box. And so you get your weekly plans, and you follow along. And we meet once a week in a group where one of the parents has taken on the task of tutoring the students, not more than 12 students in a class. The parent is still the teacher. The tutor has stepped up into this role, gets paid a nominal fee. But for instance, I'm saying to, you know, Christian educators in the public schools, where the public school is teaching basically the opposite of Christianity or anti-Christian things, maybe as a Christian educator, you could hang out your own shingle. Become an entrepreneur and teach other people's children as a homeschool person, right? It's perfectly legal for you to become a homeschooler for other people's kids. So there are a lot of different ways to get this done. In fact, I had a friend who his wife didn't want to educate their four children, and he was working full time and didn't want to take it on. So he hired retired school teachers. He hired one for each of his children, and they came into the home for 4 hours a day and basically gave one-on-one instruction to each of the children. His oldest graduated Harvard and is studying at the Sorbonne or doing I don't know what. She's published a book. I mean, you know, it's not rocket science. It's pedagogy. And the fact is that you've done a lot of things that you weren't formally instructed in because you can, because you know how to figure stuff out. And I'm just saying you know how to figure this out too. And we're supplying you all the resources, so you can do this. You just need a can-do attitude, and that's just being American, right?
Yeah.
America.
Absolutely. But this is exciting. One of the stories or one of the aspects of history that I feel has so been egregiously left out in the American education in the last 100 years or so has been the incredible rich Christian heritage of America. America was not a happy accident. America came about because of all these Christian forces that came together. I mean, they weren't perfect, and there were some definite terrible things that were done, etc. But for the most part, you know, America is based on the idea that we have God-given rights. And because of that, we have this incredible foundation that has lasted for more than 240 years as a nation. And but none of that is taught these days.
Well, there are forces that seek to eliminate that. But you show me where is perfect. You show me a nation that's done better than we've done. You show you show me a nation that has brought the world out of poverty to such a degree as the United States has done, and then try to call us evil. Shame on you, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what we're teaching our children in school. I mean, you want to talk about K-12, Common Core? Because every parent aspires for their child to be common. Come on, folks, wake up. You know, they've pulled the wool over our eyes to such a degree that parents are afraid to not send their children to school. And this is a calling right now. This is an opportunity for parents to take a step back and go, you know what? Maybe all this schooling stuff that I'm hearing about, maybe some of it's true, and maybe I should be a bit more careful with my children.
Mm-hmm.
And pastors ought to be talking to their congregations. Look, pastors, we're losing 85% of the church every day. We're losing 85% of high school seniors professing to be Christian, come out of college avowed atheists. And you tell me whether these young people are getting, it's not happening in the college. Come on. It's happening in their Christian foundations. And what's foundational?
Or lack thereof.
That they're learning in school that they are accidents of nature, that evolution is the truth, and that the Bible is a collection of fairy tales.
Yeah.
And you're trying to compete with that with a sermon on Sunday morning that's probably not even a sermon, that's probably somebody putting VeggieTales on for the kids? Or Jonah is a cucumber? Come on. How do you expect our children to grow up in the truth if we refuse to share it with them? We ought to be teaching apologetics to our children. Instead, we're teaching them the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So,
curriculum, are you allowed to bring about the Bible? I mean, have kids learn from the Bible and learn the Bible?
Are you asking for me personally?
Yeah, I mean, in other words, when you've been doing your homeschooling,
the Bible every morning.
Okay.
The Bible every morning. We've done series on apologetics. My kids in what you would consider seventh grade, they studied apologia, and they studied why Darwin was wrong and why even Darwin admitted that he was wrong,
mm-hmm.
which you won't hear in a college in a public school classroom. But even Darwin said, without this extra evidence, there's no way that any of this could be right.
Mm-hmm.
Even he said it in the book that they tout as, oh, you know, this is the greatest book ever. Yes, absolutely. So, of course, that's one of the other reasons you home educate. It happens not to be the reason that I chose to home educate initially. I chose it because the school wasn't getting the job done, and I had grander ideas of what education should be when my child was in second grade. And I also got disillusioned with the idea that the school, far from actually taking care of it, was dumping a load on me to do at home with my child every day.
Mm.
And I went, well, if I'm going to do this, I might as well do it all, soup to nuts, because it's not like they've got some special sauce, some special recipe. I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been taught that they do. That's why parents are so reluctant, because we've been taught that they know best. Don't question your teacher. If you go to my book, They're Your Kids, the first quote in my book is Bertrand Russell, who's quoting Fink.
Half a minute to go.
And he says, the object of education is to teach the children so that they will not be able to do anything against what their schoolmasters would have wanted for the rest of their lives.
Whoa.
Well, congratulations, we've achieved that. But not anymore, because right now you have an opportunity to break the spell. So good luck, parents. Go to coronavirushomeschooling.com. How'd I do?
You did great. Okay, thank you so much, Sam. Sam Sorbo, thanks so much for being with us. And this is really a great opportunity, in effect, to rediscover homeschooling and how valuable it is. So again, coronavirushomeschooling.com. Thanks, Sam. All the best. God bless.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.